Good to see all of you. Nice to see some familiar faces and nice to meet some new folks this morning. As your pastor said, we're Jeff and Sherry Newman, and we're in the process of transitioning ministries. I've been a part of Faith Baptist Bible College and Theological Seminary for over 30 years, primarily teaching biblical counseling. And we'll tell you a little of the story. Hard to put the whole story into the time frame in front of us, but we'll tell you a little bit about the story of how God burdened our hearts to join Baptist in Missions to help missionaries to thrive in the ministry God has given them. And so I think we've got a PowerPoint that's okay. Ah, I'm the one who's holding that up too. Okay, well, maybe I'll get my act together. There we go. So Baptist in Missions for some years has desired to start a member care service for all the missionaries of Baptist in Missions, and they've called it Safe Haven for Soul Care. And you can see on this screen and a moment on the screen to follow their description of what they want to accomplish with the ministry that they've asked Sherry and me to engage in. They really desire that there be one person or one couple that would give attention to the mission family, to strive to be the kind of people where missionaries would feel safe in talking to us about anything, so that as they go through their blessings and as they go through their challenges, they would always have a person that hopefully they felt was trustworthy and competent, and a person that they could reach out to about anything. And there's some structure to this that we'll talk a little bit about as we go along. So the plan for us is to, among the mission family, to promote their spiritual growth and strength, their fruitfulness. The desire, of course, then, is that missionaries would persevere in their work and finish strong. And the way that the mission desires to have that be accomplished is something that was very attractive to Sherry and to me about the ministry. They're really looking at it as relationship building and then mutual discipleship. Excuse me. I've got a little bit of a cold, and it's always hard to negotiate the face mic when you've got a little bit of a cold. So if you bear with a little occasional cough, I'd appreciate that. So we have a track record of helping missionaries in their service ahead of this ministry becoming more formal, building relationships with them, encouraging them in the walk in their walk with the Lord, and a track record in counseling and discipleship. And then there's also a desire that we would assist the mission family to be more purposeful in caring for one another and better equipped and caring for one another during difficult times and during challenging times in mission work. And so the mission is entitled the department Safe Haven for Missionary Soul Care. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about how we came to the conclusion that this is what God wanted us to do, because it's not the most common thing for someone to spend over 30 years of their life in one ministry and be very content there. And then I'm still young. I'm not yet 57. I've got a few months yet before that happens. And so I think I've got a fair amount of tread left on the tires, Lord willing, to continue to serve the Lord. But you don't often hear people making transitions like this at this place in life. And so we want to take a little bit of time to just talk to you about how God moved our hearts to that. And one of the ways to accomplish that is to ask my wife Sherry to come and to share her testimony of salvation, to share a little bit about our family, and a little bit about how God worked in our hearts about this. And then I'll add a few things to that when she's wrapped up.
Good morning. It was kind of fun to come in this morning and have Mark greet me with Aunt Sherry. We've been around missionary families for, well, my entire life, and so I've heard that lingo. amongst them. And Lydia Patefield started calling us Uncle Jeff and Aunt Sherry right away. So it was just, it's kind of fun to get a new designation. My name is Sherry. I had the privilege of being born into a home where both of my parents knew Christ as Savior, and it was their heart's desire that their children would want to also know Christ. So it was just 2 months before I turned 5 years old that I understood that my sin separated me from God, and unless I confessed that sin and trusted Christ to be my Savior, I would be separated for the rest of my family for eternity, and that was terrifying. With my mother there in the parsonage of Horton Baptist Church, I confessed my sin and asked Jesus to be my Savior. Of course, over time, I grew to learn that the separation from God for eternity was what was truly terrifying. God used the straightforward simplicity of John 3:16 to draw me to himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When I was 9, my father baptized me. At that time, he was the pastor of Cedar Street Baptist Church in Tipton, Iowa. I came to Faith Baptist Bible College and enrolled in the administrative assistant program in the olden days when it was called secretarial science. Just 5 months into my education, I met Jeff. Over the next year, it became clear to both of us that God intended us to do life and ministry together, although we had no clue what that really looked like. And we still don't. When we married 35 years ago, we anticipated that God would direct Jeff into the pastorate and we would serve him together as pastor and wife. While he finished his education, I was office administrator for a small financial planning company. And over the course of his education completion, it became evident that God desired to use his gifts and knowledge of the Word of God in the classroom at FBBC and TS instead of in the pastorate. It's been our joy to develop lifelong relationships with many of the students, particularly those whom we've had the privilege of serving together in our home church, Altoona Baptist. God gave us 2 children. We're grateful that both Tim and Johanna trusted Christ as Savior, grew in the Lord, graduated from Faith Baptist Bible College and seminary, and married spouses who also have trusted Christ as their Savior. Our son, Tim, pastors Evangel Baptist Church in Silva, Missouri. He and his wife, Hannah, are parents to 2 of our grandchildren. Karis was 4 in December, and Kennick was born 4 months ago on November 1st. And yes, they are Hawkeye fans. And yes, Kennick is not named after the stadium. He's named after Niall Kennick. Our daughter's husband, Chris, is assistant pastor at Calvary Baptist in Mesa, Arizona. Chris and Johanna are 13-month-old Ezra's parents. It's a privilege to watch Tim and Hannah, Chris and Johanna, live out their walks with the Lord, desiring that each of their children will also want a relationship with Christ, and that is our prayer as well. While we raised our children, I was blessed to be able to nanny part-time for a family with whom our lives became quite intertwined for the 20 years it took to get all 6 of our combined children graduated from high school. For 2 years, then I nannied for another homeschooling family, and then coming up on 6 years now, God brought newborn twin girls and their family into my life full-time. I've thoroughly enjoyed nurturing those girls and beginning them on their formal education, too. But now, we're on the brink of the desire God planted in us back 35 years ago to minister full-time, side-by-side as a couple. Since our children have been grown, I've had the opportunity to sit with Jeff more often as he counsels. One of the things that attracted me to him while we were dating was how he took the truths of the Bible and the experiences of the biblical characters and applied them to everyday life in the here and now. God has gifted him with the ability to make the Bible practical, and I get to see that as he walks with me and as I see him walk with others along their journey. We had no idea that God was using all of our years and experiences to prepare us to begin a Safe Haven ministry. Our desire is that we will continue to draw near to him, representing him well, and in doing so, draw nearer to each other and thereby become instruments of blessing and encouragement to missionaries around the world in their own walks with the Lord as they seek to draw others to a relationship with the Lord. Thank you.
Just this morning, Sherry was texting back and forth with one of those little girls she nannied for, who's not so little anymore, as that little girl who's now a lady goes through a very challenging time in her life. And if you could, and you can't, but if you could get your hands on my wife's cell phone and look at her daily interaction with those ladies and with ladies and students who are ladies that she's ministered to, she carries on an ongoing relationship with them that I say to everybody, she's definitely the better half of this ministry for sure. Thank you very much. I came to know the Lord in upper elementary school. Grew up in a family where neither of my parents were believers, and my mom and dad came to know the Lord. And it was shortly after that, in noticing differences at home, that I talked to my mom and dad about what was up. And my recollection is that my mom shared more than my dad did. And she shared with me, as a new believer, the plan of salvation from John 3:16. And I was, still am somewhat of a quiet guy. I was a pretty quiet little kid, pretty internal little kid. But I remember that night after talking with my mom and dad, being in my bed and talking to the Lord. And as I look back on that time, there was some confusion along the way, and I walked an aisle here and there in that confusion. But as I look back on that time, I really have come to the conclusion that it was when my mom and dad shared the gospel with me, and that night on my bed, where I expressed faith in Christ for the forgiveness of my sins. And a thousand details to the story that there's just not time to fill in the blank on. But it wasn't really very long after that where I sensed that God would want me in some kind of full-time ministry. And that path went several different directions. In junior high and early high school, I thought it would be missions. By the time I went to faith, I thought maybe it would be pastoral and church planting, pastoral ministry. As I finished college and came to the conclusion that I still wasn't very bright, that's probably still the truth. I went on to seminary, and it was in seminary where some of my professors and especially the dean at the time of faith started challenging me with the ministry of teaching. And I did my internship as a part of that with a teaching ministry, and then continued on the road for preparation for that. And when the right position came along that fit me, started teaching full time. And it's really been the joy of my life to, even today, see students that I've had in the classroom before who are going on and serving the Lord and following the Lord in their churches. And I've had the privilege of visiting several former students on the mission field and seeing what God's doing in their life. And about 5 years ago, Sherry's work schedule changed so that her summer schedule was a little more flexible also. And so we started giving our summers to missions trips. A couple of summers, we packed bags for a couple different climates and said goodbye to our home for 5 months, wondering how that would look. And it really looked wonderful. It was just a huge blessing to us to be in several different places caring for several different missionaries and being ministered to. The pictures you'll see throughout are pictures from those experiences. I'm not going to take the time to explain all of them. But back in 2018, I was asked to speak at Baptist Missions Summer Conference to talk to them about a topic that's difficult to talk about. Talk to them about a topic about the various challenges that are going on in our culture and culture around the world relating to people and sexual identity. And they asked me to do a three-part series on that as a part of their family conference. And when that wrapped up, I had a quick mission trip to make to Boston, and so left early in the morning after that conference wrapped up, came back to Cleveland a week later, and Dr. Vernon Rosenau, the president of the mission, took Sherry and me out for lunch and said, "Jeff, I've had something I've been burdened for a very long time, and I want to talk to you about it, and then I've got a couple of questions for you." And he laid out this ministry that is being started, Safe Haven for Missionary Soul Care, and gave me his thoughts on it. And said, "I've got two questions for you. One of them is, would you help me to think about this more?" and help me to flesh this out more. And then the second one is, would you start thinking about the possibility of joining us and you and your wife leading this? The first question was a really easy answer to give. Absolutely, I would love to help you think about what this would look like. And the second question was, it seems like if I'm going to say yes to the first question, I better say yes to the second question too, but we'll see how that works out. That was summer of 2018, and we said yes to this in late September of 2019. So I'm not the person who makes decisions in any kind of a quick fashion, but we're thankful for what the Lord has done with this and the thought that has gone into it. I hope you get some sense of that and the kind of opportunities that will be available to missionaries at the mission and that will be a part of our life and work. When the announcement started going out about this, there were several things that happened that were a real encouragement to me and to Sherry, that, you know, kind of those confirming types of things. And in this slide, you have a picture of missionaries that are in Cusco, Peru, Isaiah and Rosanna Peterson. Anybody here know them at all? A few of you might. He's a Bible translator and a church planter, and they're on a part of a church planting team there. If you find them on Facebook and can follow them, you would be really encouraged by their ministry. They have a church that's well underway after just a few months of ministry there, and Isaiah really has a gift of languages, and he's working remotely with Bibles International out of Grand Rapids, so they're well engaged. And we have a relationship with them because they're both students at Faith. And Isaiah emailed me the Friday where all the announcements went public and said, Dr. Newman, could my wife and I make a video for you where we would take a little minute to give testimony of what you've meant in our life and what that what we think that means for your ministry at Baptist Missions? And who's going to say no to that, right? I said, certainly so. And I added to the email at the end, we're actually going to present this at our church on Sunday. This is Friday morning. We're going to present this at our church on Sunday. No pressure. But if you had stuff in mind and you had a time this weekend, it'd be great to have just something short. You know, just, it didn't have to be what you got in mind. Just something short for Sunday. Sunday afternoon, we got a text from Rosanna with a question and then a text a few minutes later saying, check your email. And what I want to show you now is the video. They put this together in under 36 hours of life and in a weekend, a very busy ministry. And I want to show you now the video that they made. It gives you a little glimpse of what they think our ministry has been in their lives as in their first term of ministry and what they think God will do with this ministry. So we'll hope the technology behaves itself.
Hello, we are Isaiah and Rosanna Peterson. We serve with Baptist Missions in Cusco, Peru, and we had the privilege of sitting under Dr. Newman's teaching while we were students at Faith Baptist Bible College.
While I was a student at Faith Baptist Bible College, I attended the same church as the Newmans, and I'll always remember the first Wednesday prayer meeting that I visited there. I had the privilege of praying with Mrs. Newman. After chatting for a little while, she realized that she knew several of my relatives. And she asked me about them. She told me that she had been praying for one of them, even though she hadn't heard from them for many years. That really struck me, that she would continue to pray for someone that she hadn't heard from for almost 10 years.
As I recall, Dr. Newman was the only professor I had who explicitly said that he would answer collect calls from anybody who called day or night, claiming that they were a former student. Sometime later, when I realized that I was in way over my head with school homework, with relationship difficulties, and with student loans paperwork, I knew who I could turn to for some help. Dr. Newman graciously made time to visit with me and allow me to ask painfully basic questions about scripture and ministry and life in general, along with the relationship difficulties I was running into. I don't think it's too much to say that the health of our marriage is due in large part to the work that God did through Dr. Newman in our lives.
Over the last few years, the Newmans have visited Peru a few different times for a part of their teaching responsibilities. Even though their schedule is so busy while they're here, they always made time to chat with us, to visit us in our home, to watch our daughter so that we could have a date night, and to take us out to eat so they could ask us how we really are doing. It meant so much to us to have them as our mentors, as our encouragers, as our prayer warriors while we were here on our first term of service in Peru. Mrs. Newman and I have kept in touch, even while she's in the U.S. and I'm here in Peru. It's so great to have someone that I can text anytime I need to and just ask her to pray for me, to share struggles that I'm having, or to hear her just encourage me from God's word. Recently, a coworker asked me if I still keep in touch with a lot of people from the United States, and I shared with her that God has really blessed me with some great friends, including the Newmans, who are there for me anytime I need them. She replied with, "Wow, you have something that a lot of missionaries don't." And that is so true. We see a great need for the role that the Newmans are going to play so that they can encourage our coworkers, encourage other missionaries around the world the same way they do for us. Thank you for partnering with them in this ministry.
The role the Newmans are stepping into with BMM is a perfect fit for them. I am so thrilled to hear of their move, and I'm really excited for the benefit that they are going to bring to the Baptist Missions family. You will not be sorry for choosing to support the ministry that God has given to them, because it will extend all around the world and into eternity.
So needless to say, I got that video Sunday afternoon, and there wasn't a dry eye in our house while we were watching it for their encouragement to us and what the Lord could do through us. Let me talk to you a little bit now about some of the details of what the mission has for a vision for what they want to accomplish with this safe haven for missionary soul care. You can see the list there, and I'll flesh that list out a little bit. While we're in the process of raising support for ourselves, we're going to begin to engage with the missionary appointees with Baptist Missions. No surprise, there's a tremendous body of literature written about missions and missionary work, and a large focus of that is on the challenge for missionaries from the time they become appointees until they return for their second term of service. So in broadly spoken evangelical missions, the statistics are that half of the people who begin at an appointee stage don't make it back for their second term of service. And that statistic isn't much better in fundamental Baptist ministry and mission work. And it's called in the literature the crucible of missions. You think about what a missionary goes through in that 5, 6, 7, 8 years of their lives. They're in the process of transitioning from culture that they grew up in, the closeness and support of family that they have had in their lives, but with this commitment that they know God's called them to serve him, and then live from place to place to place for weeks on end, raise support, go through the sadness of saying goodbye and the excitement of saying hello to the ministry, and then acquiring new language, learning the new culture and customs. And there's a lot that goes on in a missionary's life during that time. And there are times where they just don't know who they can turn to, because who do you turn to that's safe, that isn't passing judgment on a variety of things about you, that you can just sort of, as it were, let your hair down with and have a good conversation with? And so first place we're going to engage is take that group of people, and there's already people working with them administratively, making sure they're doing well on those things, but we're just going to take them and care for them, strive to care for them together as a group and individually, spiritually, encourage them to grow in their relationships with each other, and then help them all the way through to that second term. For some, that'll be visiting them on the field during that first term. For others, that won't be what would be there, what helped them, what would encourage them. And so we will really strive to personally understand and personally care for those missionaries who are in those beginning stages, because statistically, those who make it for the second term are those that become the retired missionaries in some 30, 40, 50 years down the path. And so we really desire that God would forge some relationships there with those people that would really encourage them to persevere in ministry, encourage them to keep going forward. Missionaries that are beyond that first term, career missionaries is the label that is used for them, to have opportunity for them to have a place where they could come apart for a while, come away for a while, relax, talk through things, be disengaged on their own referrals or on a referral of a friend or coworker or an administrator with the mission. That's a part of the role we're going to play as well. Helping those who have gone through especially difficult times of ministry, especially difficult times maybe with extended family back home, really caring for them. And beyond that, then helping the whole mission family to grow in their ability to care for each other. The mission family is over 500 people scattered across 48 countries. And so this is a big task that is not a two-person task. And so one of the things that they desire for us to do, and I'm excited about, is do equipping of missionaries that have a desire and an aptitude to one another, care for one another, and help them help one another on the field in the midst of challenges and difficulties and in the midst of blessings as well. So care for career missionaries. You know, as everyone does, that the missionary population is aging, and that when you come to retirement, it's pretty challenging to reinvent life anyway when you come to retirement. But you think through what it's like for a missionary to retire. Where is home? You know, by the time you've served an entire lifetime on what to other people is a foreign mission field, that's home to you. And home is home too, and missionaries always struggle with we're going home. You know, when they come home for furlough, they're going home. When they leave for furlough, they're going home. And sorting all of that out, and of course for many of those missionaries, they have people and friends that help them through that process. But there are some of those missionaries who've lost adult children, who they don't have those adult children to come to help them. And they have other challenges, and so one of the roles that we'll play is helping missionaries on the move to retirement to think through what are the challenges are in transition, to connect them with resources that they need, and just to help them to make that as smooth of a transition as they possibly can. One of the burdens that I brought to the table, this was on the radar of the mission, but by the time we got this far down the list, they were already saying, Jeff, we're recognizing this is like more than two people could do, so maybe we should slow down on the list. And I said, no, let's cast the vision. Let's just cast a vision for this, and we'll see what the Lord does with the details and how he works out the details, because this is not something new in the field of missions. These types of concepts, but it is new to Baptist and Missions, and so we get to blaze the trail of being in the formation of all of this. And one of the things that I really wanted us to explore and to strive to do is to provide ideas, maybe even structures, ways to encourage, especially the missionary sending churches, to stay engaged with them on a regular basis. You talk to missionaries, you heard it from Rosanna Peterson in the video, you talk to missionaries who go to the field, and one of the things that is most meaningful to them, that encourages them, is that they know they're a part of a team. They couldn't do the work without the churches at home that are praying for them. They couldn't do the work without the churches that are home that are supporting them, and that's an encouragement to them. But just having opportunities to interact, just knowing, just hearing tangibly that people are praying for you, just tangibly remembering special days, birthdays and anniversaries, those kind of things that seem so small to us at times and yet are still challenging to remember. I mean, I won't ask how many guys forgot their wife's birthday this year, or maybe almost forgot. Hopefully it's the almost forgot. Those things that are challenging to remember, it would just be great if we could work with some highly motivated sending churches and with some other resources to put together something that would help and give reminders and give ideas so that sending churches and even their other supporting churches could be able to purposely plan to say, hey, we're still here and we care about you and we love you and we want to evidence that in more than our prayers, which is good, and in more than our finances. Both of those things are essential. But are there ways that we could help churches to accomplish that? There are administrative responsibilities that the mission agency wants me to be a part of, so I'll be a part of their administrative team. They want my voice at the table to be the voice to think of impact of decisions on the encouragement and discouragement of missionaries. I mean, decisions have to be made, and there's decisions that are always made, and they ask that my role be listen to them, bring that perspective, be thinking of that perspective at the table all the time. And I look forward to playing that role. And then there's always times of particular challenge in a mission family. Baptist Missions has gone through having to evacuate people out of countries when wars have broken out. They have had missionaries that have been physically harmed and shot. And they have one of the things I was impressed with the mission is they have a very well-developed plan of action in a variety of these types of things. In crisis, in today's world, the matter of how do you respond when there's any kind of sexual abuse, the mission has a plan. And something even more significant, they have a plan that they've worked. A lot of places have plans and they don't really implement the plans, they don't really work the plans, and in having conversations with them, excuse me, examples of here's what's going on, here's how they worked the plan, here's how they updated the plan after that, and we're going to ride alongside of that. Thankful, I was glad. They aren't going to wind us in as integral to the plan. They want somebody. One of the things they sensed in those times is they wanted somebody who could be a part of those experiences and not have any other responsibility than to pay attention to the missionaries going through the hardship and to pay attention to those who are caring for the missionaries going through the hardship and just to see how's everybody doing. And try to provide spiritual encouragement and support through those types of responsibilities. So that's the overview of the responsibilities. And I'm hoping to leave a few minutes for you to ask questions as we move along through this. Let me talk to you a little bit about Baptist Missions. I'm sure you're familiar with it. There's a couple of stats on here that surprised me. Okay, so. First one didn't. Beginning in 2020, they start to celebrate being 100 years old. So it's a well-established mission agency with a track record of serving people. They have missionaries in over 48 countries, and they have 450 missionaries, and this doesn't include children, so this is husband, wife, team, singles. So when you add family numbers to this, you can see that number quickly almost doubles, and so you have a mission family that's almost 900 people. The statistic that really I had not seen anywhere before is missionaries serving with Baptist Missions represent over 10,000 years of service. Think about that. You know, depending on how different people cut the age of the earth, that like quickly approaches many of those numbers that people give to the age of the earth. Now, next time you see a retired Baptist Missions missionary, be careful what you do with that number. But you think about this. I mean, this is an agency that has 100 years of history, where the people that have been sent from churches and had been helped to succeed by this agency through those churches, They together have combined more than 10,000 years of sharing the gospel and of discipling people. And so it's quite an agency. I want you to, if you haven't, I want you to have a chance to meet the current president of the mission, Vernon Rosenau. This was his vision. I mean, he had this on his heart back in the 90s when he was a field administrator and would see people not make it and think, you know, there's got to be more that we can do to really encourage missionaries, strengthen missionaries. And so he put together a little video of a greeting to you and a little bit of comments about his vision and desire for what this would accomplish. So one more time, we shall lean on the technology and hope that it works.
Well, greetings from the BMM home office. I'm really pleased to be able to talk to you today about safe haven and soul care for our missionary family. Dr. Newman and Sherry are coming on our administrative team, and I'm so pleased to have them as part of this team. You know, it's been a dream of mine for a number of years, even before my presidency, to be able to create a department, a position here at Bastion Missions that would be a place that missionaries could connect to that would have appropriate confidentiality in terms of counseling, in terms of their spiritual life, their emotional life, for families, for singles, for couples, just someone they can turn to and get help and who's qualified to give that help. And we really believe in Jeff and Sherry, we found this couple. And I'm just pleased to have them coming on board. You know, missionaries have this capacity to just give and give and give. And they're overseas or they may be domestic, but they are maybe solo in a team, and they forget to take care of themselves. And oftentimes we find ourselves somewhere spiritually that we didn't intend to go or to be, and then we don't know how to get back. And we need somebody to just sit down with us who loves us and cares for our souls, cares for our families and our kids, and in an appropriate, confidential way can help us find our way back. And that's what Safe Haven's about at Bastion Mission. It's another tool that we want to afford our missionary family to keep us healthy, keep us close to the Lord, and keep us in ministry for the long run. This is a marathon. This isn't a sprint. And we believe that this will do that. And we think that in Jeff and Sherry, we've found partners in the ministry who know us. They know our mission family. They've been in and out of this family over the last 3 or 4 years teaching and working with us. So they know who we are and what we're about. And we have great confidence in them. So I'm so, so excited about having come on and to watch God use them in a peculiar way, in a really great way in our mission family. So welcome aboard, Jeff and Sherry.
If you'd open your Bibles to the book of Philemon, I want to challenge you, and I also want to encourage you with what I think is the most important thing you could do for us, the most important prayer request you could give, could pray for us, and we'll go through this somewhat quickly. But the book of Philemon is a personal letter written by Paul to Philemon, and Paul has a request to make of Philemon that was the kind of request that just was not made in that time. Philemon had a slave that had run away from him and harmed him in a number of ways. And this slave Onesimus ran away, and in God's providence, he ran away to Rome and came across Paul. And Paul led him to the Lord. And the punishment for what Onesimus had done was capital punishment. And Paul is writing to Philemon to report, Onesimus is now your brother, and I want you to respond to him as a brother in Christ and to exercise the freedom that you can exercise to not hold him to the kind of penalties that he could be held to. And we won't have time to look at the whole book, but what I want you to think about is, as Paul wrote this letter, he wrote this letter knowing Philemon, knowing Philemon's heart, knowing Philemon's reputation as someone who cared about others. In Philemon 7, he ends this section by saying, I've got some confidence in you. Why? Because I know you. The hearts of believers have been refreshed by you, Philemon. And the two things that I want you to think about in these few minutes in the Word. One, I want you to think about your own opportunities to be a refreshment and an encouragement to others. What does it take to do that? What does that look like? And then what I want you to do is every time you hear mention of Philemon, every time you cross the couple of pages in your Bible that are Philemon, I hope that you'll remember Jeff and Sherry and you'll pray that we will be the kind of people that Philemon was, because we personally think that that's the most essential thing for us to do and to be in order for God to use us in this ministry. So let me read these first seven verses of Philemon and let's talk about them briefly together. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to Apphia, to Archippus, his wife and his son, our fellow soldier, to the whole church that meets in Philemon's house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Okay, so first thing I want to do is I want you to think about the realities that Paul had faced, or some of the realities that Paul had faced in his service for the Lord. In one sense, Paul was one of the first missionaries, doing some of the first missionary journeys of the church. And while we rightly should think of him as a giant of the faith, I think we also need to think of him as a human being with very real human being struggles. And just we're going to quickly look at some passages in Corinthians, just taking Corinthians and saying, look at the struggles Paul faced. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the trouble that came to us in Asia. And look how he describes the trouble he experienced. We were burdened beyond measure. We were burdened above strength, so that we despaired even of life. This is the Apostle Paul thinking, saying this. By the way, give some thought to this. So if missionaries your church supports, they said in a prayer letter to you, or they came home and as a part of their presentation of support, they made a statement like this. We had some real challenges. We had some real trouble when we were in that part of the field, Asia, in Paul's case. And I want you to know, I don't want you to be ignorant about this. We were burdened beyond our measure. We were burdened beyond our own strength. We despaired of our lives. What would you start to think? What judgment would you start to pass? And Paul's sharing his heart, and he goes farther. Okay, we had the sentence of death in ourselves for a purpose. How did Paul persevere in these difficult times? Well, there was a purpose to these, and he gives the overarching purpose here. God was shaping Paul just like he's shaping you, just like he's shaping every person who knows his Son as Savior, to have less and less trust in self and more trust in the Lord. And that's what he says. We had this sentence of death in ourselves so that we would not trust in ourselves, but we would trust in a God who's worthy of that trust because he's the one who has the power to raise the dead. Second statements from Paul, same book. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. So again, listen to the language. Paul was going through and went through times where he was perplexed, didn't know what to do next. Times where he was pressured from every side. And then you hear him describe his ministry later on in 2 Corinthians, and he rehearses some things and he moves in. He says, we were in weariness. We were in toil. We experienced sleepless nights. We experienced hunger and thirsting. We fasted often. We had times of cold, times of nakedness in our lives where we really didn't have everything we needed for our physical existence. And then he adds to that, other times what comes upon me daily, the deep concern for all the churches. And what's he saying there? It's interesting. Philippians 4, be careful for nothing, be anxious for nothing. This, the concern for the churches, is the same word. He says, I feel the burden of anxiety for the churches. And so Paul's carrying physical challenges, he's carrying his own personal challenges, he's carrying the challenges of the church, and we know of physical challenge, of this thorn in the flesh that he talks about. So in a very real human being way, Paul was facing the challenges and the sufferings that every one of us could rehearse in our own lives. And yet when he thinks of Philemon, he thinks of Philemon as a person who encourages him, a person who refreshes him. And you look back at the text, and there is a foundation to this refreshment, to this encouragement that Philemon is able to give. Philemon is the type of person who has a sacrificial love for all believers built on his confident faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So how can you be a person that is known as a person who refreshes your fellow believers? Well, it begins by having a confident trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that from that trust in the Lord Jesus Christ flows out into a love that's willing to sacrifice comfort, sacrifice from our own lives to show love to other believers. And so Paul says to Philemon, I know you. You have a sacrificial love for all the saints that is borne along by your confident trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, here's the prayer I have for you. And this particular verse has a lot of exegetical challenges to it. So I put on the screen there one person who I think did a good job of working through those and paraphrasing this. So what's Paul praying for Philemon? I'm praying that your fellowship, this fellowship that you have with these believers that rises from your shared faith in Christ would work itself out, would become effective as you would know and understand and then have a discernment and an understanding of what it would take to love others, and that you would practice that as God's will for your life, that in every good thing you acknowledge every good thing that is in you and do that for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul knew Philemon's life. He trusted the Lord. He had a pattern of sacrificially loving each other, and so he's willing to make this request of Philemon, and the request is that this love he has, this fellowship he has with fellow believers, would work itself out by Philemon having discernment of the love that he should show in doing every good thing that is in Christ Jesus. And Paul's specific in that and hooks it together. So there is this confident trust that Philemon has, that then how is it evidenced? Excuse me. It's evidenced in Philemon genuinely, mutually caring for brothers and sisters in Christ. And Philemon understands that generous care, that generous heart that he has for others, expresses itself in God's will for him to serve others. And what you have happening in Philemon is you have this construction going on that puts trust in the middle. So how is it that you can become a person who, among the believers here and believers around the world, when you are thought of as a person who brings refreshment to one another? Well, it begins with a confident trust in the Lord. A confident trust in what God says in his word about his son, about you and your relationship with his son. And from that confident trust in the Lord, it flows out into, we're related to one another on the basis of that faith. We're brothers and sisters on the basis of that faith. And because we have this faith in the Lord and this mutual relationship of brother and sister, then from that mutual faith, we demonstrate to one another a sacrificial love for all saints. That's God's will. And we have an ability to discern and to understand how do we indeed express that love to others. So I want you to think about this in your own life, and then I want you to think about this as you pray for us, share a few more prayer requests, give you a chance to ask questions and land the plane only a little bit late. So think about it in your own life. Do you have a confident trust in the Lord that leads you then from that trust in the Lord to be willing to sacrificially love others and encourage others? You have somebody in your life or somebody you know of in the world where when that person is present in your life, you're just, life's better. It's going to be okay. What's a part of that person's life? What's a part of that person's life is a confidence in the Lord that leads them to rest in Him. And from that confident trust in the Lord, they're able to serve others in the midst of really changing, really challenging, really difficult situations and circumstances. And that person is a person that people, like, that person refreshes me. That person encourages me. You can become that. If you remember nothing else about what I've said in these few minutes, the one thing I would want you to remember to do is to pray that Jeff and Sherry would become that. That's what we want to be. We want to have a growing faith in the Lord that leads us to a selflessness, that leads us to have discernment of the people in this mission family. How do we love them well? How do we care for them well so that they always know there's somebodies who care for them? There's people who care for them, and they always have a place where they feel like they can turn when it seems like there's no other place to turn. And when they turn there, they'll find someone who cares about them and will seek to their best of their ability to help them. Now, let me talk to you a little bit about a few more things to pray about. Pray about our transitions. This is a big deal. It's a complete different look to life than what we thought it would be. We're excited about it, but it's just different. We need to relocate. We're not going to relocate to Cleveland. When they decided about this ministry, they decided they needed to have some criteria for where it would be located. They didn't want it near Cleveland, and they didn't want it near any of the schools where Baptist and Missions missionaries come from, because they wanted the missionaries to feel some real freedom to come without people going, "Hey, what are you in town for?" And they wanted it to be a place where missionaries would naturally travel in and out of that place. And they wanted it to be a place where whoever they targeted to do this ministry didn't have to completely establish new relationships. Can you think about that? You know, the kind of things we're going to be doing if we had to invent all of our relationships all over again, that would be a real challenge for us. And so we're aiming for a western suburb of Chicago called Warrenville, Illinois, is where we're aiming for a couple of reasons. The obvious ones: it's a big city, and so there's a lot of appropriate anonymity in a big city. People come and go from Chicago all of the time. We have lifelong relationships there. So one of our strongest relationships of college, he has pastored the same church there for 30 years, and if the Lord allows, he intends to pastor till he retires, and we're about the same age, and so we could land there with a good relationship established, a church that's of a size it's probably about you guys' size, where they're already starting to get excited about, well, we could really help Jeff and Sherry in this ministry, and they could really give some attention to that. And then I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about our financial support. But again, if you don't do anything else as a result of being here today, pray Philemon for us, okay? Now, how's the finances of this going to look? Baptist and Missions, I believe, in their general council meeting last week, voted to add money to their budget and raise that money to take care of the expenses of the ministry. So us getting to missionaries around the world, the funds that it takes to serve missionaries when they come to us. And then the mission has asked us to raise money in two categories. So we're raising money for our ongoing support. So it's a two-person thing, so we're raising both of our salaries, we're raising the money for our benefits, so we're raising the money for our retirement, and then we're raising the money to be able to care for the ministry home when we're able to locate it and purchase it. The second piece of the money we're working to raise is we need to raise money to buy this ministry home. And the ideal, and you know, the Lord knows the ideal. So the ideal for Jeff and Sherry right now may not be the Lord's ideal, but the ideal from the standpoint of the mission and as we've talked together is a home that has, like, if you think of like a mother-in-law's quarters with it, so that people who would come and stay with us maybe for a week or so, They could be with us, but they could also be away from us, so they didn't have to put up with us all the time. And there could be a bedroom and a place for children to have a fold-out couch and a place where they can make some of their own meals. And there are a few places like that in Warrenville, Illinois, surprising enough. Economically, Warrenville is not unlike Ankeny, okay? So if you think about what it would cost to buy a home like that in Ankeny, that's about what it costs to buy a home like that in Warrenville. Property taxes in Warrenville are a little higher than they are in Ankeny, and some of you are like, really? But Warrenville is a more metropolitan area, and you tend to have to pay for the closeness to the travel and the other things that go along with that. So, any quick questions at all before I, and maybe I should just say we can talk after church with those questions because I took about 5 minutes longer than I was supposed to. Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to sharing the word with you more specifically in the next hour. We'll stay around as long as we need to after the service to answer any questions you have. We want you to understand this. We really want you to pray for this, and we appreciate your partnership in that praying.